Good morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. He has provided it for us to come and worship and praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Last week, I received a phone call from a fellow clerk who's also a friend. He and I have served on several statewide committees for the Clerks Association for many years, and he helped me tremendously when I served as president of the state association. And he's from a bigger jurisdiction, much, much bigger than Brunswick. And we got to talking. He said, "I haven't heard from you in a long time." Said, "Guess you guys down in the country just laid back and taking it easy and don't have time to call your buddies in the cities." And I kind of chuckled, and he said, "So what are you doing?" And I said, "Well, other than serving as clerk, I'm full-time pastor," which he didn't know. And I don't think he believed at first when I told him. And I said, "I'm full-time pastor." I said, "This week I have a team of state auditors here during the annual audit. I have court 2 days this week. We have jury management training 1 day this week. My chief deputy's daughter is expecting a child, her first child any day, so she'll be leaving as soon as she gets the word." I said, "My wife had rotator cuff surgery 10 days ago, and I've been trying to go home and take care of her after working." And I said, "I'm trying to get a Doctor of Divinity degree from seminary." And he said, "Well, when do you take the stress management class?" And that's what gave me the thought for a sermon this morning. I had started working on another topic, and I thought, you know, that would be a good topic for us to talk about. You know, in the early 1960s, expert testimony was given before a Senate subcommittee on time management. And the experts predicted that with advances in technology moving as quickly as they were, that within 20 years, the change in how many hours a person worked would be significant. And they predicted that an average American employee would be working 22 hours a week within those 20 years. And these experts says the challenge is going to be what to do with the leisure time that all the Americans will have. So over 40 years later, and tremendous advances in technology, I'm wondering how many of us are trying to decide what to do with all of our leisure time. I think that's one time these experts missed the mark. Our world has become like that of the Red Queen in Alice in Wonderland. And she said, "Now here you see, it takes all the running you can do just to keep in the same place. If you want to go somewhere else, you must run at least twice as fast." And I wonder how many of us feel like that. I want us to take a group quiz this morning and see if we are being dragged through life at a frantic pace or if we are taking a slow, easy journey. And this is a fill-in-the-blanks quiz, and I want you to give me the answer. I am ready to throw in the blank. Oh, the choir had that before I even finished. I am at the end of my blank. I am just a bundle of... My life is falling. I am at my wits. I think I'll resign from the human... Okay, from those answers, I think it's pretty apparent that most all of us are experiencing the rat race. And just when we thought we were getting ahead, faster rats get in the race. But let me remind you of this, that the winner of the rat race is still a rat, right? It would take hours for us to recant all the activities in which we are involved and the responsibilities that are placed upon us as a result of our involvement in church, at work, at family activities, at civic clubs, at social relationships, etc., etc. And example after example could come from each and one, every one of us, I'm sure, of the stress that is placed upon us as we try to balance these activities and responsibilities. But I want us to refocus today on relieving the stress. And to relieve our stress, we're told by the experts that we must experience rest. And if we all we need is physical rest, we can sleep. Take naps and sleep. If we need emotional rest, we can take a vacation from the daily grind, go to a new scenery, and hopefully just put it behind us. But if we need spiritual rest, where can we find it? How can we obtain relief regarding some of the deepest issues of our lives in the deepest levels of our soul? Now, most of us are familiar with the saying that the more things change, the more they stay the same. And Jesus spoke to this very issue 2,000 years ago in our text today, which is found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. If you would, get your Bibles or get one from the pew rack in front of you and follow along as I read Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And this is Jesus speaking. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. This text contains three commands from Jesus, and obedience to them shall bring spiritual rest to each and every one of us, to our minds and our souls, and provide peace in this hectic world. Jesus' first command is, come to me. He invites us to come to him. He extends the invitation in order to meet our needs and to provide the spiritual rest from stress that we need. Jesus didn't say, come to church to rest. Christianity means having a personal relationship with Jesus. Going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. Going to an automobile garage doesn't make you an automobile. And coming to church does not make you a Christian. Studying about Jesus doesn't make you a Christian. Come to me after you've straightened up your life. Come to me after you've given up the addiction to whatever you're addicted to. Come to me after you quit watching the pornography. Come to me, he says, as you are, and I will give you rest. If you have a soul that's hungering and thirsting for spiritual peace, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. If you desire eternal life, Jesus is the answer. Listen to what he said in John chapter 5. You diligently search the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Studying the Bible doesn't make you a Christian. It's not going to get you into heaven. The search to satisfy these needs we have, this hungering and thirsting, this need we have for a spiritual peace, for spiritual rest, leads us down many, many dead-end roads. Jesus knows that our search for spiritual rest leaves us empty and unfulfilled, and he has a gift to give, a gift which means we need to search no further. So what is the result of obeying this command that Jesus made to come unto me? It's rest. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Jesus provides rest for the weary, i.e. those persons who have toiled to live righteous lives. Now, he's not talking about someone who's labored all day and is tired of work, physical labor. He is talking about the persons who are sincere and conscientious and who are waging a battle between obeying his commands and his teaching versus sin. Because we know human effort falls far short of God's standard for Christian living. And the only way we can meet that standard is to turn to the cross, where it is a place of exchange, where we exchange our sins and given the gift of salvation. Jesus provides rest for those who are burdened, those who are weighted down by the heavy weight of sin. Living for oneself, living for material possessions, living for fame and pleasure and power is a burden. And if you don't believe that, study the many, many lives of people who did that, who had fame, who had wealth. Read their biographies, and you'll find that more often than not, the burdens they bore are much greater than those of us who had not such fame and fortune and power. Through Jesus, the full penalty of our sin has already been paid. We can begin life anew and the page is wiped clean. And God not only forgives, he forgets. We've said that several times from this pulpit. He not only forgives, he forgets. The page is wiped clean. Jesus bore the guilt. Jesus paid the price for our sin. No way could we have paid the price. No way could we have become righteous enough to enter the kingdom of heaven without Jesus sacrificing himself. We owe nothing. There's no shipping and handling to pay. There's no tax. There's no surcharge on this gift. We owe nothing. Jesus paid it all. So come to Jesus. Receive the spiritual rest from the stress of the world. And you'll have a sense of relief when you come to God. A true sense. If you haven't experienced that, you may not have come to God truly. You may not have had that relationship that a true Christian believer has, because when you come to God, there is a sense of relief. And the God's word tells us it is called peace with God. Jesus' second command is, take my yoke upon you. Now, a yoke is a type of harness used to connect a pair of oxen. And in the Bible, It was metaphorically used to refer to a submission to a teacher. Often the rabbis in this time would refer to taking the yoke of Rabbi so-and-so, meaning that a young man was becoming a committed pupil of that certain teacher. And used six times in the New Testament, the word yoke has two dominant figurative meanings. First, there is man's yoke, the yoke of rules and religion. This refers to the rules and religions of the rules and the religious system devised by man, which man states you must obey to be accepted by God. But this is not the my yoke that Jesus is talking about. Remember, Paul talked about that at length in his books to these young churches at Corinth and Ephesus and the church at Rome. He talked about the Mosaic law, and not no longer do you have to follow that. No longer do you have to abide by all the rules. You merely accept the yoke of Jesus and move forward. Jesus was speaking of the yoke of relationship. A personal relationship with Jesus doesn't require any rules and regulations. It doesn't require circumcision. It doesn't require not eating certain food on certain days. It doesn't require not working after a certain time during a day. Jesus' yoke is easy compared to this yoke of man, of these rules and these regulations. Jesus' burden is light according when compared to the burden of human effort. Jesus commands us to take up his yoke to find rest. And there's no rest in rules and systems. Spiritual rest is found only in a personal relationship with God. Now the word yoke also implies three distinct meanings that are applicable here today. The first is that of a connection, be with me type thing. Yokes are made for two, not for one, and we were not meant to go through life apart from God. And his yoke fits well and is lighter than the one that we have been pulling by ourselves. So we need to be connected with Jesus. Also, it has a meaning of following. Follow me. The idea of a yoke depicts the forward motion of two committed together. We cannot be yoked to Jesus and go our separate ways. If we accept Jesus, if we come to him and take his yoke upon us, then we go with him. We work together. We follow him and his direction for our life. We need to follow Jesus. And also it has a meaning of cooperation. Work with me. To be yoked together means we cooperate with Jesus' work here on this earth. Before we came to him, we were living on this side of eternity. But after we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, we realized that our lives could have eternal consequences and eternal effect upon others. So we must work with Jesus, take his yoke upon us, and work with him. J.H. Jewett, who was a 19th and 20th century congregational pastor in England, who was called to the Presbyterian Church in New York, and I found it interesting, he received the highest salary that any pastor had received in America at that time. He was paid $12,000 to come from England to the church in New York. Thought that was interesting. But here's what he says about this concept. The fatal mistake for the believer is to seek to bear life's load in a single collar. God didn't intend man to carry his burden alone. Christ, therefore, deals only in yokes. A yoke is a neck harness for two, and the Lord himself pleads to be one of the two. He wants to share the labor of any task. The secret of peace and victory in the Christian life is found in pulling off the taxing collar of self and accepting the Master's relaxing yoke. Jesus' third command is learn from me. We come to Jesus, we take up his yoke, and the learning process begins. Jesus is gentle, he tells us in our text today. He's gentle, but he also is strong. Strength under control, if you will. You know, religious people can be cold and harsh, but not Jesus. His gentleness draws us to him. His gentleness lets us know that he cares for us. He wants to help us. He wants to relieve our spiritual stress. He wants to help us with concerns of our daily living. Jesus is humble, he says. Humble and unselfish. Again, religious people can be arrogant and rude. Pride and self-centeredness is, of course, the description of the devil himself. The very attitudes of religious people which turn away others from church is the very opposite of what Jesus is like. Hurting, lost, and weary people came to Jesus because they knew that he cared for them and he would meet their needs. And as his followers, as believers, that's the task that we are assigned to do. To reach out to those in our community, in our county, wherever, and let them know that Jesus lives in us and we care for them and we want to help them if at all possible. After obedience to Jesus' command, we experience the spiritual rest that he gives us. Notice I said gives us. No charge. There's no $150 an hour psychiatric fee for laying on the couch. There's no $75 an hour stress management course that we take. We just accept Jesus. Once and for all, we rest in his death on the cross. It's acceptable to God. And being acceptable for God should give us that spiritual peace that we need. Rest comes from obeying Jesus' command. Come to me, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. The spiritual rest we need to overcome the stress in our lives is right before our face in the person of Jesus. We've been told that time and time again in Sunday school and from the pulpit. But we're hard-headed. We're stubborn. We know more than God. We know more than Jesus. We can do it ourselves. We can find that spiritual peace that lets us make it through the day with a smile. And that can help us when we do begin to get stressed, that we can, it can help us to chill out and realize that God is with us. The price is obedience to his commands. And I ask you this morning, are you obedient to his commands? Have you come to him? Have you taken his yoke upon yourself? And are you learning from his teachings and his word? Or are you still sitting there, coming to church, thinking you're a Christian because you're sitting in the pew, because you're teaching Sunday school, because you come to Bible study? Friends, that's not being a Christian. You need to come forward and publicly say to this body of believers, I have accepted Jesus as my Savior. I've asked him to forgive me of my sins, and I want that gift of salvation. And we invite you to do that as we sing our invitation hymn, number 318.